from the CFM studios on the Sunshine Coast. It's the Ellie and Taz podcast.
Hi, podcasters. Thank you for clicking the old download button.
I love the beat in this.
You don't even have your headphones on. How can you hear it?
Just vibing.
Oh, just vibing,
just
bro.
Just a little gut feel at this point. Yeah. Hey, big show. Thank you for downloading. Means so much to us that you get around it. We do one of our favourite phone topics in that we've done in a while, I think.
Yeah. Look, it takes a turn. We start off asking a very light-hearted question.
A lot of kids get involved with light-hearted things that they've done and got in trouble with. And then adults seem to jump on.
Yeah.
And a lot of fire-based stories.
They're full-blown felons, you know, the adults that drop on.
They got away with it because they were kids when they did these things.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll hear all those stories. They're a bit of fun. We also get joined by a dude who spent 25 years in special ops.
Give him a bit of respect.
Well, that's
He's been in the Australian Defence Force for over 25 years.
Yeah.
He's got an OAM.
Yeah.
And you've called him a dude.
He's a cool dude.
He's the coolest
of dudes.
Okay, make sure you keep cool.
All right. We're joined by a cool dude called Reese. All right. Yeah, that's a great chat too. So, oh yeah, and we try some really hot chili peanut butter.
Oh, my mouth is still burning.
Mm.
My body actually feels a little bit, what the hell is that, you know?
You're going to have an interesting trip to the toilet later.
Oh, maybe maybe now, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all we need to know. Tazzy's going to get out of here. We will speak to you soon.
It's Ellie and Taz for the drive home.
Quick question, straight out the gate for you.
Yep.
Where do you think there are more rules? In prison or at school? Because I was thinking about it during that song. There's a fair few in both scenarios.
No hat, no play. Is that in prison? Do they use that one? Do they have to wear closed-in shoes? And the shoes have to be black,
right,
and leather and polishable?
And do your ribbons have to match the school uniform?
Is it formal uniform on Mondays in prison? You know, they've got to get their tie sorted. I don't know, actually.
Right.
Look, I've been at school and I can tell you there's a hell of a lot of rules there.
So many rules and so many reasons you can get in trouble at school, which is fair enough. You know, like the teachers are in charge of a lot of kids.
Well, one thing that does carry over for both of them, contraband.
Yes.
You know, Pokemon cards in prison and in school.
Get confiscated.
Exactly.
So true, mate.
And
so just, true.
And there's this black market of trying to like trade stuff without the teachers / guards finding out.
They're the same. I can't see any difference. The same.
Which means kids are also crims.
Crims, absolutely. The youth of today, just don't trust
them. And yesterday, especially when you and I are in school.
So many kids on the way home from school right now being like, what are Alien Taz talking about
What's going on?
Well, the reason I bring it up is because there's a school in the US that's just made headlines because over in the US, they don't have school uniforms as often as we do. Like here, pretty much every school has a school uniform.
Yeah.
But this school, students have been told they're not allowed to wear black because it promotes depression, mental health issues, and or criminality in its children, wearing
They're
black
not allowed
from
to
head
wear
to toe.
Black.
Apparently, all black attire prohibited.
Was it getting a problem? So is it a free dress school all the time,
yes.
I'm guessing? No uniform. Oh, the dream.
Yeah.
Do you think that all the kids just started wearing black? Just the whole
There's nothing in this that says cohort. That's the case.
Yeah.
One teacher's obviously just decided like, oh, you know, it's the emo kids who are depressed who are wearing black.
This is the first step before they bring in a uniform.
They should just bring in a uniform. If they're going to do that,
let's copy the prisons. Bright orange jumpsuits.
Oh, the jumpsuits look comfy as.
The kids will be trying to dig their way out, trying to dig an escape tunnel using like a spoon from the canteen.
Well, we want to focus on school rules this afternoon and ask the question 545-11919. What stupid thing did you get in trouble for when you're at school? Maybe you're at school now and you got in trouble for something that you think's a little bit silly. We'll hear those calls as well. But think back, like there was a kid in my school, I'll never forget, we had this teacher who liked to start each society and environment class with a little Tai Chi session. This is like year 9 or something.
Look, I never had that happen, but I feel like I did. I feel like that's a shared experience.
Well, we all had to stand up in our chairs at our desks and do like this Tai Chi that the teacher led to calm us down. And then she would say like, all right, everyone get your energy ball in front of you. And you had to like make a ball. And then one kid thought it would be funny.
Teenagers would hate energy ball.
Year 9 is too old to be doing this. Anyway, one of the kids threw his energy ball out the window, like made a joke and was like, there you go, I'm throwing it out. He got a yard duty.
No.
He had to spend lunchtime picking up rubbish.
I've thrown real balls out the window of classes and didn't get in trouble.
Oh, so he went down in history, the guy who got a yard duty for throwing his energy ball out the window.
Great.
What silly thing did you get in trouble for at school? Aria, you're 13, so you're still in school, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Did you get in trouble for something silly?
Today I was sliding down the hill in a trash bag.
Okay, hang on. Aria, were you the only one to be sliding down the hill, or was it you and your mates?
Me and my mates.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So are we talking like one of those big bin bags and you've hopped in it and because it's wet on the grass, you've slid really quickly down?
Yeah.
Taz, should we do that tomorrow?
What kind of hill are we talking, Aria? How steep was it? Was it good?
Like a 45-degree angle.
Oh yeah, nice. Did you go fast?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was the punishment for sliding down the hill in a trash bag?
I got a detention.
A detention?
Oh, no. Not happy with that.
Oh, Aria. Are your parents in the car with you now?
Yeah.
Are they mad about the detention? Did you get in trouble from them?
No.
Good.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. She was having a good time.
Yeah,
trash bag sounds fun.
Mum and Dad probably have trash bags at home that Aria can use at home as well.
Hello, Daniel. Did you get in trouble for something silly?
We got in trouble for apparently we were running around too fast on the green area.
Too fast? Usain Bolt's out there. Slow it down, buddy. There's a speed limit here. How fast were you going, Dan?
I was going at the walking speed.
Walking speed?
And did you have detention or something?
No. Oh. My friend had to sit out for the rest of the play and we got to go run.
Your friend was
too quick. It was just disorienting the teacher.
What a meat cruel punishment. All right, kid who's walking too fast, you sit out. The rest of you, go run.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be sitting out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dan. Love the story, mate.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go now to Michelle from Caroyba. Michelle, did you get in trouble for something silly at school?
Yes, I did in year 9.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
All right, she's remembered it.
Cast your minds back. So you're about 14 or so in year 9. What did you do, Michelle?
I took the school roll out of the principal's office and burnt it because I was truanting and I had all cheese on it. And I went, well, I'll get you guys, and burnt it all.
Holy mackerel.
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't seem like a silly reason for getting in trouble. That seems like a pretty warranted reason.
Okay, what did you use to light it on fire, Michelle?
Well, I took it to my girlfriend's house and I went into the paddock and burned it with a lighter.
Oh, jeez. All right. And so what was the punishment for that one?
I got off the school for 2 weeks.
Kids, if you're listening now, we are not condoning this behaviour.
No, not at all. Do you regret it, Michelle, looking back as an adult now?
Has it sullied your future?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, that's what we're
trying
to hear.
Kids, listen to Michelle.
Convict.
It was a cool story, but that's all it is, okay?
Okay.
Good on you, Michelle. No more arson from here on out, okay?
Okay.
I'm glad you added the O in onto arson. Thank you very much. Let's go down the line to Coolum. We've got Levi here. Levi, welcome to the show, mate.
How are you?
Good, Levi. Did you do something silly at school that you got in trouble for?
Yes. A bit radical. When I was about 15, I found out you can make smoke bombs out of ping pong balls, and I just cut a bunch up, wrapped them in aluminium, and one afternoon ran past the principal's house and threw a few over the fence, and the whole thing just went to boom. It was pretty gnarly.
Levi, and then, that's a crime as well.
I love how Levi almost said the president's house as well. Like, that was how official that this mission was at the time. Yeah. That was how serious it was. What was the punishment, Levi?
Well, I thought I got away with it. And then one of the blokes I was with kind of told his mum, and she worked at the school, and she told, you know, the principal. And we got about a week's detention for doing it. But the gnarly part was that a couple weeks or months later, the bloke's house, like, fully burnt down, like, it was pretty heavy, man.
Oh, my! From your smoke bomb?
No, goodness no. It was just a weird, like, far out. We could have actually caused some damage. It was a bit of an old, crusty unit, but like the building. But yeah, no, that's what I did when I was 16, and got the, I think, a week or so's detention for it.
So once again,
hours, so I don't really know if it was.
Oh, I think it still counts. It's against the principle.
It definitely counts.
Once again, Levi, have you learned from your mistakes and do you regret this terrible behaviour in school?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Kids, avoid fire and smoke bombs.
The last two stories have had fire in them.
Yes. It was supposed to be silly reasons, not legitimate crimes for getting in trouble, people. Okay?
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Taz, do you read me right now?
I read you loud and clear. It is cold outside, Chaney. Why did I draw the short straw for this?
I'm really glad you didn't put up a battle, actually, because I did think that through. Now, we've sent you downstairs at the bottom of the Kentucky building where we are because, Taz, a mystery is afoot.
Yeah, it is. The Kentucky building, if you don't know what it is, it's in Maroochydore, right across the road from the plaza. It's where our studios are. We're up on the fifth floor. We get a lovely view of Maroochydore and surrounds. But to get to our studios, you need to come in at ground and take the elevator all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Now, the thing is, in the actual studio, there is a screen. And on that screen, it has the words GND door. Okay?
This screen shows you when you're on air, when you're off air, when people are calling. It's great. It shows you what's going on in the studio, what's going on the show at any one time. But the GND door just never lights up.
Never lights up. All the other things do. So we want to know what the GND door button is. And so we assumed ground door, right? So we've sent you to the ground. There is a button that has a CFM sticker on there that I've never pressed or seen or used before. If that's not what lights up this screen, then strike me down with a feather. I don't know what is.
So this is for people, you know, maybe it's late at night and you've got an interview or it's the weekend or whatever. And so not many people are in the building and you want to contact the studio. You want to be like, hey, I'm downstairs. Come and get me.
Yeah.
So there's a button here. There's only one button and it says call. Should I hit it?
Hit it. I'll watch the screen.
3, 2, 1. Oh. What are you seeing? Anything?
Nothing.
Let me hit it again.
It's not doing anything.
Let me hold it. Hang on, I'll hold it. Holding. Surely.
It's not doing anything.
How are people supposed to pick up their prizes, Chaney?
I don't care about that. I mean, I do. Like, good on you, whatever, if you want a prize. But I care. What makes the ground door thing flash?
Also, what is flashing with this button? Now the question is also, where does this button go?
Right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I want you to stay down there for the next few minutes and have a look around.
No,
I want you to scour that ground.
It's too cold. It's too cold. Let me back in. I'm pushing the button. Let me back up.
GND door. What else could that mean? Good night direction door. I don't know. It's going to do my head in.
Good night, Darren.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That'd be it.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Exciting times. If you like me, Tazzy, you like crime. I mean, I don't like crime.
A life of crime.
I like true crime and I like the stories that come along with crime.
I mean, you're writing notes. You're taking notes when you're watching all this crime, aren't you?
No. But the TV show Hunted is back on our screens. This time $1 million is up for grabs. And the premise of the show is for people like you and me to go and be on the run, to hide from the law. And if they can't get tracked down, then they win the money, right?
Yeah, a whole heap of cash this year as well. And the chief that is hunting them down, Reese Dewar, joins us on the show. G'day, mate.
Hey, Ellie. Hey, Tez. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. I promise I don't actually like crime. I just want to get that straight from the get-go, okay?
Reese would like crime.
You could arrest me, but I'm a law-abiding citizen.
That's all right. I'll just take your name off my list that I was just writing down then. That's all right.
He's like Santa. He's got a naughty list.
Now, you've had 20 years' experience in the Australian Defence Force. You are the top dog when it comes to preventing crime and everything. Yeah. How do you feel heading into this TV show?
Look, it's been an absolute blast and a privilege, if I'm honest. I didn't think for a moment that I'd be on a TV show, but here we are today, and it's great to be part of. you know, the show that is Hunted Australia.
I think Ellie, my co-host here, could be the worst person ever if you were to make it onto the show. I think they'd find you in the first day. Reese, let me profile Ellie for you, okay? So firstly, she's well known here on the sunny coast, so people would be able to recognise her. It wouldn't just be you trying to hunt her down. You could just put the call out and people are like, oh, there we go, there she is. She loves spending time at the pub, which we've learned as of yesterday's episode is not a good thing. Tanisha and Bobby caught at the pub, so that Ellie, we just pick her up at the Dewport within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't last long in the field, I suppose. Oh. We'd actually pick her up pretty quickly, I reckon. But a lot of the fugitives are, you know, giving us a run for our money this year with the nine pairs that are out there. Obviously, they've robbed a bank. They've gotten away with $1 million, mm-hmm. and they're on the run for 20 days.
If you were to be on this show, Reese, as a contestant... Oh, great. What would you do first?
You probably wouldn't find me on the streets, put it that way.
Oh, going through
the
sewers.
Sky. Oh. You'd hire a plane.
You're based on the sunny coast. Is there a particular place that a fugitive would go on the coast that would be a good place to hide out? Not to give criminals tips, but, you know, because you're from here, you know it like the back of your hand.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say probably out into the hills, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Out west, you know, you can get lost out there pretty well. Or any one of the local breweries.
Done.
Done.
Amazing.
Yeah, we lost her at Hinterland, but we got her back at breweries. Thank you, Reese. If somebody uses their card somewhere, like a bank card or an ATM, how quickly would you be able to pounce on that?
Yeah, look, so we replicate the powers of the state. So what does that mean? It means that obviously the people that we're actually getting the information about are fugitives. Generally, we have to request. So as you'll see on the show, they'll tap on a Mikey card or something like that. We'll actually get that ping, but then we actually have to identify who that card belongs to, and we have to go through like a warrant process. So we have to request that information, and that'll go up to what we call our lead umpire, who is a former assistant commissioner of police, and then he will tell us yes or no. If we get a no, we can't push it any further. Once we get the yes, then we can start prosecuting that information and get the detail and the descriptions of individuals and anything else that's associated with it.
Because I always imagine if I was in that situation, I've used my card, all of a sudden the helicopter is overhead and guys are coming down from the helicopter. I don't even get my cash out. Like, that's how quick it is. It's within the minute.
So when you say you have to get the warrant, like, what grounds would they have to say no? You know, like, if you say, I suspect this person of committing a crime, you know, when are they going to knock you back?
It's if we don't give them the right picture that we're trying to build. So it's about having credible evidence that leads us to the individuals. And if we don't provide that level of scrutiny and information, then the umpire will reject it. And that means we've got to go back to work and get more credible information to support the request we're asking for.
The umpire would send it up to the bunker, and then the bunker would have to have a look at it, and then we're watching replays for the next 20 minutes. Oh.
Snicko gets involved, no different sport. Well, Reese, thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you for being our friend and not arresting us, even though at the start of this I said I like crime.
No worries, Ellie. Thanks, Taz.
Hunted, the million-dollar heist. It kicked off last night. It continues 7:30 p.m. on 10 and 10 Play.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Always looking for side hustles. If there's free money to be had and it's not a huge amount of work, I'm in.
Oh, big time.
Love it. And so the idea of making social media content, making a bit of cash on the side, very tempting.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember I did a TikTok webinar once? Because I was like, oh, I'm going to be big on TikTok.
Have you posted any TikTok since then?
I made two that week and I don't think I've posted anything since.
And rough views on those? A couple hundred?
Yeah, a couple hundred.
Yeah, okay.
400.
Not great. So I've actually got the info, though, of if you do go viral on TikTok.
Okay.
How much money can actually be made.
Great.
So Lisa is, she goes by Side Hustle Sister on TikTok.
Oh, I need to add her.
She talks about different side hustles, and one of them is, her TikTok itself and how much money it makes her. So she has a bit of a debt, like a uni debt that she's trying to pay off, and that's why she's delving into all these different side hustles and teaching you, seeing if they're worth it or not.
Right.
So she explains what you have to do if you... She's got 55,000 followers, so she's got a bit of a following already. But because she is officially a TikTok creator, TikTok goes, okay, well, your videos, we will pay you if it goes big. A video that goes a million, gets a million views.
Mm-hmm.
How much? Just give me a ballpark. What do you think you're earning from a million views?
$10.
Ooh, more than that.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like so many people, like, I've got a video on Instagram that got 2 million views.
Is it a thirst trap?
No, it's me eating a prawn cracker. Quite literally.
Did you get any money for that?
No. Not at all.
Maybe Instagram doesn't see you as a proper creator.
Is it?
That might be your issue.
Well, I remember reading somewhere that Australian creators don't get paid from TikTok. Is that true?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of research. They don't get paid as much, but they do still get paid,
right.
Especially by TikTok. So to get paid, the view must be a qualified view. Oh. So that means it must be over a minute long, your video. Was your prawn cracker
prawn
eating not a minute?
No.
Okay, so it has to be over a minute long in content. The video has to be watched for over 5 seconds and viewed on the For You page, and it must be a unique view. So you can't just keep watching your own stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's where my 2 mil came from.
That's just you. You're just repeating it. And so she earned $600 from a million view count on a video.
Really?
Not bad at all, right? That's Australian. 600 Australian.
Yeah, right.
Per 1,000 views, she says it's roughly about $1 for her account, which I think is pretty damn good.
So could I just go after my webinar and post a video right now on my account that has like a couple of hundred followers because I never use it?
Yes.
Could I make $600 tomorrow if it goes
viral? I think you have to sign up to be a TikTok creator. You must have to say, yes, I'm an official person and this is what I'm going to be doing and yada, yada. But once you've got the following and you're consistently making those views, she says she's making over $500 a video because most of her stuff goes over a mil. Not bad.
Easy.
Come on.
No worries. I've got to go take that webinar again. And
Speaking of, we are cfm.radio on Instagram. We've posted a video yesterday about Short Streets, the Sunny Coast. Just doing the math now, we need another 998,000 views.
And if that fails, get me a bag of prawn crackers and we're on.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9
CFM.
And if we go down south a little bit, Tazzy, right now in Brizzy, the Ecker is on.
Yeah, it's a huge week. I loved as a kid going down with the family or friends or anything like that and looking forward to making my way down there this weekend. Somewhere I've got to go and see, though, is the Chili Factory. And we've got Daniel on the line from the Chili Factory. G'day, Dan.
G'day, guys. How are you?
We're well, thanks. So you're actually live from the Ecker right now, hiding in the back of your store. What's it been like down there?
It's been really good. The first couple of days, we had beautiful weather, great crowds. Monday and today, it's a little bit drizzly, so the people have slowed down a bit, but that just means we get to talk to everyone for a little bit longer as they're trying our stuff.
Dan, I've got in front of me the Cranky Croc Choc. It says hot chili chocolate sauce.
Yeah, that's one of our 5 new gourmet range sauces. So we've got 2 chili oils, a mild and a hot, a chili chocolate sauce, a Cranky Croc Choc, a chili honey, and a chili peanut butter.
Well, we've got in here the peanut butter, the spicy peanut butter, which I was talking to you about off air before, and you said you realise that's the spiciest thing we do. Is that correct? It's as hot as it can get?
It's the spiciest of our new gourmet range. That is correct.
I've got the jar in front of me, right? And so I've got the Daintree drizzle here. That says 4 out of 10 on it. Then the chocolate sauce goes up to 9 out of 10.
Yep.
What do you think the extreme hot chili peanut butter sits at, Ellie?
10 out of 10?
11 out of 10.
Oh, well, that's not even the scale. Daniel, that is not how you do scales, okay? You can't go over 10.
I'm good at chili, not good at math.
Okay.
That's right. It's not the maths factory. It's the chili factory. Okay. Beck from promotions has actually spread a little bit of the super hot chili sauce.
Oh, a little bit? Thick spread there.
Look at the evil grin she's got too. This is her favourite part of the day. Can I have a plate, please?
It's a bit orange looking.
Thank you.
I can see the chili flakes in it. Are you going to do the whole quarter of bread, or are you
just
going to
have
a big bite?
I'm going to take a bite because it's a lot that she's served me. Dan, what are we in for here with the peanut butter?
So it's actually a really nice peanut butter made up in Queensland, made in Kingaroy. And we've mixed it with the 3rd hottest chili in the world, the Trinidad Scorpion.
In the world? The world's a big place. That's a lot of chilies.
How many Scoville units is one of those bad boys, Dan?
Oh, no.
A Trinidad Scorpion by itself comes in at about 1.8 million.
I love that the scale just gets that high.
1.
Like, they don't stop
million.
At 10 or 100. Like, it's in the millions at this point.
Yeah, what's one Scoville? Like,
water.
Yeah. I think that could be about water.
Okay.
All right, Dan, here we go. I mean, this is going to be great radio.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
I'm biting. I'm chewing. The peanut butter side is nice. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And it should start to hit you a little bit after you've got it into you.
It's hitting. It's getting stronger. Why did I leave some peanut butter on my lip? I don't know. Holy mackerel.
Oh.
It's getting there.
It's hitting. It is hitting. Have you swallowed?
Yeah.
Oh!
The back of my throat.
Yeah, that is one of the joys of the scorpion chili. It really does get in the back of your throat.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
Dan, you would be the expert. What would help us with the heat here? I've got water and milk. Are either of them going to help?
I'd go for the milk. The water will just kind of wash the chili around onto a new part of your mouth, but it hasn't already hit.
It's getting worse. I can feel my face starting to sweat. Do people eat this for breakfast?
I'm going to say, this is hot, but it's really nice.
Yeah. Daniel, thank you for... Look, it's a cold day on the Sunshine Coast today, so thank you for warming us up. My tongue just keeps getting worse.
Oh, it's so good. Sunny Coast, get around the Chili Factory. You can find them at the Ekka. And if people want more info from you, Dan, where can they go?
You can go to our website, thechilifactory.com, or our Instagram or Facebook, which are both just at The Chili Factory.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Let's do it, baby. It's Bandle time, the game where a song gets broken down into its parts. And you have to guess what song it is, and so do we.
Yeah, it's like a stack of pancakes. We're just going to keep layering on pancakes as we go until we can guess today's song. What's so good about this, Sunny Coast? I know, I'm really thirsty. I'm really hungry. What's so good about this game is Ellie and I do not know the answer either, so we're playing along with you, Sunny Coast. We're going back to 2006. Hit us with the first layer, drums and bass.
All righty, 545-11919 if you reckon you know what it is.
Getting nothing out of this.
Yeah, me too.
Should know it from that, you'd think.
When was Red Foo around? Let's get ridiculous.
That's later.
That's like 2010s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2010s. Okay, let's add in the guitar and strings. Like a Maroon 5 or...
Could be.
Something of that era. 2006. What were we listening to in 2006? American Idiot. It's not American Idiot.
No.
Is it like... No, it's not even Boulevard Broken Dreams.
I reckon it's more poppy than it is rocky. All right, let's go to the next layer.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm getting too. I'm so close to getting that. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to kick myself for not getting it there. Yeah, we do.
All right. Not a Snow Patrol.
Chasing Cars.
No. Over My Head. No.
The Frag.
Where did I go wrong? Yeah. How to Save a Life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
with The Fray.
Oh, that song was so big in 2006.
Wow. The Fray, How to Save a Life.
I'm annoyed that took us so long because that was
the
song of 2006. If you don't know it, it's. Where did I go
wrong? Ah, this is the piano. Ding, 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 ding.
Bandle, you've bested us once again, kind of. We'll play again tomorrow, and that $100 Moolabah music voucher will be up for grabs again.
That's it for Ellie and Taz today. If you missed anything, download their podcasts. Search Ellie and Taz in your podcast app. 91.9 CFM.